Okay, Hare Krishna 101. Continuation of the cult episode, which can be made interesting that I'm not here, you know, because the tendency is that when these kind of documentaries are released, they come now and then, the PR department of the of this organization gets into action, doing what they can to, well, of course, get on the case of the producers or the television channel who broadcasted it or whatever, published it. Saying that this, no, they are this. Well, you can't say it's wrong because, I mean, some things are simply documented. And that's what documentaries are about. So they happened, but it was a long time ago. It was in the past. Now, everything that we hear about that has happened in the past. So it's just a question of, you know, what time, what prescription time do you get it and you give it. And of course, people hearing that won't be very impressed. They will be quiet and walk away and get doubts because how do you know, especially when the spokesperson here for the organization seems to not really be emotionally or morally disturbed by the events that were reported and which admittedly happened. But rather this kind of attitude that was definitely prevalent back in the 80s, I don't know about now, that, you know, you shouldn't criticize us, you karmic demons out there. We are the perfect ones, and you are in darkness, so we will say everything and anything needed to deal with you. And this kind of thing there that we find also in this Moon documentary slipped in there, that, what do you call it? They call it heavenly deceptions or something. That when you do it in the service of God and for the best of the world, because that's what you're doing, right? Then a little lie for God is allowed. And we heard the exactly the same thing. I don't know if I myself ever said it. I don't think I did, because I never liked that. That you can lie for the, you know, the ends justifies the means, as they say. I mean, we heard that expression a few times, also in the Krishna consciousness movement. So again, it's not about this or that good or bad movement, but about a group psychology, a kind of things that just may appear. And of course, some of these cults back then learn from each other. I mean, we were, and I was one of those, the preachers down on the street. You know, our job is to spread Krishna consciousness. Just, you know, spread the knowledge. Which, well, I'm still doing, but in this way now, And of course, as I said back then, I felt uncomfortable having to, or being expected to, at least by some, serve as a recruiter for the temple, because the leader of that temple needed workers to cut the vegetables and clean the floors and so on and collect money, but rather to give these nice gifts to people, the forgetful souls, which we did by walking around on the streets and selling the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and so on, which I still think it's one of the most honorable works you can do on this planet, to go out and meet people, not cheating, not lying, not fooling, not tricking, but to give the good knowledge. And I see devotees, I mean, I'm so happy to see it still going on so nicely in Stockholm. Every Saturday out there, Harinam, chanting the names of God openly, rather than war slogans and hateful speech. So, I mean, it's just nice. And that's my point here, that honesty, truthfulness prevails. And people are smarter than you may think. Because no matter how good you are at fooling and cheating and lying, that will eventually be seen through and exposed. It's just the way things work. And sometimes, you know, when that bubble appears, the cult bubble, you tend to be captured within that. And of course, that's what you get. And you don't know people outside there anymore much. Your whole image of people, the outsiders, or the karmis, as we used to call them, takes on a life on its own, so to speak. They are stupid. They are this. They are that. That's what you hear being preached in the classes and lectures. That in the Krishna conscious tradition, very much powers the whole social gathering, so to speak, which is nice. I mean, this is really the way it should be, that there are, you know, daily lectures, where now we find more and more, it wasn't so much back then, discussions, open discussions, not just the big guy giving today's lecture and we listen and we accept. But, you know, here the knowledge, the scriptures, these old books of wisdom are at the center. How to live them? What shall we do now? And what about this? And what about that? That's healthy, and that's how it should be. And that everyone can just be themselves, natural. This is me, and this is what I think. These are my opinions. And you don't disagree, you disagree, well, you know, then let's talk about it, and otherwise agree to disagree. You know, this is how cultured people function. But when a cult atmosphere or social atmosphere has developed, then, and that's what makes the bubble, of course. So I'm talking about, you know, social media bubbles. There are like cults as well. So it's a group thing, right? I have to say it over and over again. So I'm not taken as some kind of asura here against some specific movement, whatever group. It's psychology. We should learn this and see this and avoid that it kicks in ways that are really destructive, I would say. So then we have to see this thing, understand this, and be able to deal with it when it kind of infects the social group there. I think you can see it like that, as a kind of disease, an infection. Parasites coming in, trying to feed off these kind of, no matter what kind of group you talk about, but religious groups, spiritual groups, may be easier to, or I would say also political groups, when it's about the full and total life of us, who are members of the group, like in a country or so, society, the more involved people are with their full life, so to speak, or a big part of them, the more control you can, of course, exert over such people, you know, over us. So, again, but what I wanted to say here is that, yeah, for those of us who have not been, and are not planning to be, insiders in such bubbles, which is really what I'm here trying also to help out with. Because it's not a nice thing to be caught inside of such a bubble, whatever, however nice a bubble is. The fact that the bubble exists, this kind of isolation from the rest of us. Well, that's what we see. That's what we call cults. And if you like it, then, yeah, well, you're welcome, I guess, if you behave and think the right way. So, most, I would say like this, that most of us who have been through the years, been members of these different groups, are now outside the bubbles. And so let me just look at it from here, that, well, first of all, to those who watch these documentaries on SVT Play or whatever, and you go, ooh, these cults are horrible, terrible, why don't they stop them and put them all in prison, those nasty leaders? I mean, it might be that those who make these documentaries are outright against religion or whatever, and their hate towards God, or, you know, those who are of a different religion than us, are using these kind of documentaries as propaganda tools, and possible. But I think that today more, it may just be that this sells good. I mean, Netflix, they run their things there about Osho and whoever. There have been quite a few there. And, I mean, we like to look at such stuff, don't we? It's drama. It's like, you know, you find all the elements there in such stories that you're looking for to create a drama to write a good script that sells, you know, and that draws an audience. That's what you learn when you learn about writing movie scripts. So I think it's mainly like that. But I would like to all of those who think that these cults are bad, these groups are bad, I think that, I'm a positive guy here, that this phenomena of what I call this cult behavior or consciousness, is good to get aware of that disease, the nature of that disease. It's a social disease, I would say. Whether it appears in a little local group you're a member of, or the entire nation up there in the rulership levels, same things going on. And we see that happening today. I just discussed with a friend of mine yesterday that what you see going on in the U.S. government today up there, or even higher up in these levels of who now are, for those who have eyes to see it, exerting stronger and stronger control over the world, the Western world. And who get very angry at those, especially in the what are called BRICS, who just don't want to be controlled. So it's a wild scene out there. But it's the same principles are happening there. And we always come to that word psychopath, narcissist, people, I would say, who maybe in the political scene out there in the world today are climbing through financial means. Because with money you can exert a lot of influence today. Or by sneaking into political groups, which may be very, you know, based on very nice egalitarian and cooperative principles. Let's just work together here, supporting each other and our good cause. And look here, they're humble. It's a flat structure here. There's a chance for me to advance here. It's hard out there in the rest of the society, you know, the business world, corporate world, whatever, it's tough. But here, it's easier. You know, that's, I think, an example of how it can happen in these kind of religious, idealistic, non-profit groups. So one has to have a protection against that, the group being taken over. I mean, consciously or subconsciously by certain people who have psychopathic, narcissistic tendencies. And I'm seeing it. I have seen it through years. Even some of my friends have such tendencies. And but actually, I heard them even admitting it to each other. So I think there's a fairly, if I look at the Krishna Consciousness Movement in Sweden, a fairly controlled situation. Where this disease is getting weaker and can be probably, possibly uprooted. R- bringing back a healthy social body. Well, this is how we need to think when we're in leadership positions. And the people, when we choose our leaders and decide if we should follow them or not. So same situation on all these levels. And I guess you can find it in the family or whatever, amongst a little group of friends. It's just group psychology again. But so let's leave that aside. What I say now is that standing here, most of us, not within the bubble anymore, which is shrinking. See that bubble as the disease bubble. And what's left then? Well, you have lots of people, I would believe, who, because when you look at what they say here on this, about this moon movement, they wanted to establish the kingdom of God on earth. And that's what the Hare Krishnas want to do, and I guess what everyone, the Christians, want to do, and so on, right? And and that's my theory, that the mass of members in these groups, who most are still alive, join those groups for that purpose, for a very, very good and nice and unselfish purpose. And then, but then there was someone or some who, you know, in the Christian sense, if you look at it from that point of view, these Christian cults, okay? If I want to make a cult today, cults seem to be very good, you know, you can just start some pyramid scheme of some sort and yeah, there you are. How do you do it? Well, you know, one of the recipes, it seems, the formulas, is yeah, you're Christ, you're the new incarnation of Christ, and you just market yourself that way and write a book where you kind of take the general principles of spiritual knowledge that you find, you know, in the Bible and the Bhagavad Gita and the Quran or whatever. Mix it a little so it turns universal, and here you are, the new universal Christ. I mean, it's kind of basic, simple cult building. I mean, but that's also getting exposed. People don't fall for it anymore. I hope so. So, but just, you know, if you find that there are such people trying to take leadership position or maintain in your group, and it doesn't look like a healthy thing, then just demand their that they step down. This is how democracy works, right? And if you are not allowed to, if you're a demon or whatever, if you dare to question that leader, then you go somewhere else. Because that's not democracy, if you want to have even that word there, meaning that it's deceptive, it's something else than it looks like. There's something going on here. So, but again, what's left then are all these members of this group who came together because they really like what they find here, like in the Krishna conscious movement. I mean, it's obvious. And I think that really here in Sweden, that is at the forefront now and becoming more and more so. That, look, we go out and we sing and dance for God on the streets. And yes, look, we have these beautiful books with this fantastic knowledge in that can really help us to solve the problems of our lives and become healthy and happy. Because that's what we're supposed to be. That's natural, normal life. And, you know, and let's just cooperate. You do this, I do that, and we don't need to have, you know, someone up there in the high position. And that's how things work in Sweden. I worked at a company, even sitting up there in the upper floor offices just next to the CEO, who was a CEO of several large companies. This was a large dentist supply company. We were talking, you know, some big billionaires up there owning the whole thing. And this is just a crew of like 100 people or so sitting there doing their work and working together and being friends, going out partying at night together. And, you know, it's their hoods, their daily lives there. And the boss, the CEO, well, he just had a little office there together with us others. Next to long-haired guy with sapa mustache and an electric guitar on the wall, who was doing some computer work. Characters, and everyone was like, yeah, we're all kind of similar friends. Okay, this guy is a boss, so he has the final word. But otherwise, socially, they were just, you know, they call it flat structure. In Sweden, we are good at that, teamwork. And that's what is happening also, I see, in the ISKCON Krishna Consciousness Movement here in Sweden. And if some think that it's dangerous not to have this super-duper qualified top leader up there representing God, maybe God wants us to rather cooperate, work in teams. And I always thought that this is what it seems to me, the Vaishnava culture, even as you find it in West Bengal and India and the writings of Bhaktivinoda, or as the Christians had it, this Christian brotherhood, I think they call it, or brotherhood, sisterhood, which a Christian priest told me he wanted to establish in some countryside project he was building. And I agreed, yeah. Brother, sisterhood, friends, yeah, working together, doing some nice things, respecting each other, not judging and all of that, exploiting. And this is how countries should be with each other as well. And you know, in the teachings we have here, we find that Prabhupada is emphasizing Dharma, which is just that, how we can socially function nicely together and make our countries or communities or whatever self-sufficient, strong, healthy, secure. And I think this, you know, this is more the European way, and that's the way we find it in the East, you know, the Asian part of the world, very much. If you care to and dare to look at history, not just as written from the Western, you know, the one, the victor writes the history, right? But from, which we can do today from above, East and the West see what actually happened through the history here on this planet, which is a good thing to learn today. But anyway, so this is what I mean, the good thing, that the bubbles of the that were cults are kind of shrinking, I would say, because they are depending on people sitting in there thinking that they are not allowed to go out of it, that they would die if they did, or in some cases they got, you know, in trouble if they did. So it's, again, it's a parasitic behavior. Think of it like that. You have a nice group and some parasite walks into that and turns you into a herd to be milked and used for the higher good. And there you are. I mean, it's one should be careful with it. So I would say that here in Sweden, now I sound like a Swedish nationalist here, but up in the north here in general, yeah, of course there used to be these kings fighting, making the Swedish Empire back then, but not so much. And that was some time ago. And now we have a nice working culture here, except I would say for the great lack still of a working worldview, which is actually the purpose of my book, the Reddick Planetarium, to talk about. So that's why we have these books and this knowledge and this mission, you could say, the Gaudiya mission that we, the Krishna Consciousness ISKCON movement, have been given. And around there, you know, the Gaudiya tree branches. And then I would say in all, because, you know, you got the Moonies, you got the this and the that. No matter who sat there and, you know, what happened to it, there's a bunch of nice people there and there and there who have very much the same idea, you know, making a kingdom of God on earth, things like that. So, you know, at least why not just work together, or at least share experience, and but then also help each other to heal ourselves socially and individually. You know, here I am and I'm standing here on my own and with my friends, and we now life works out, and I'm happy and I'm strong, and I'm still a devotee of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada and this nice Sankirtan mission. So, you know, that's what counts. Not, you know, which group do you have a membership in and are you serving, and which leader have you sworn your oath of allegiance to. So, anyway, just a couple of things. And I may continue discussing this a little bit. It just comes up like this because when I see these documentaries, and I know that these questions are lingering there in the hearts out there, even of you, you know, who are still insiders or are considering stepping inside. I don't know if there is this kind of mood or way of looking at it anymore, outside, inside. And I hope that that kind of has mellowed out, because that's the bubble. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, just because I kind of know that these kind of doubts, that, because this is what we're talking about, doubts, that there are doubts, of course, not what to do about them. Well, you ask, you want to discuss with the more learned ones who you respect. Well, when I did, then those were, you know, we could talk frankly, and each one had his opinion, of course, behind closed doors. But there was, I always found myself in, almost always, you know, that we had some close friends, and we could question this and that, and we did. And another good thing is, I'm just talking for myself now, sitting doing all this Radio Krishna night radio programs, where we had people calling in on the phone and going out in direct broadcast 6 hours at a raw at night. Well, sometimes four, we didn't make it later. We got tired. And then you had just people calling in, and you know, the people awake at night are different than the ones during the day. So all kinds of wild crew, really, who was calling in. Some very philosophical, some completely crazy. And it was entertaining. And it was entertaining to sit there and having to just, with no preparation in advance or anything, just have a person there on the phone, and you hear him in your headphones, and you're speaking that microphone, and it goes out in the radio all over Stockholm. It was interesting, and you learn things by that. First of all, you were challenged. I mean, every little bit of the philosophy and the life and the purpose of life of us as Hare Krishna devotees was challenged. You had to learn to answer that, and then you had to learn also to, not just, which some did, deny and, you know, not answer and say you're just a fool, a stupid question, which some did. But, you know, that doesn't really win. That's again, a little bit of that cult behavior. Either you're with us or against us. So, but that's a good way also. Go out and meet people and be there, down on the street, out in their homes, through their screens or headphones. And allow debate, discussion, do live streams on YouTube. It's easier to do today. It was impossible in the past. And you can sit there, just click on a stream, and then your camera, whatever is on your camera, and microphone goes out live in the whole world. Like 4 billion people can look at it if they would know that you were doing it. If, you know, and that happens. Once something gets popular, people, they subscribe and they like, and then the more subscribe and like, that's why all the YouTubers are insisting, please click on subscribe and like, because then you can go viral which means that more and more and more, and it spreads and it spreads like the good news. And then all of a sudden you have half of the Earth's population looking at you having these discussions. And they can do the same thing, have their discussions. You know, let's talk, let's discuss, let's dare to say what we actually think, and let's listen to each other. And you know, that's the way of cultured, civilized people. Not that you don't have exactly my opinion or that which I have learned where from, well, you know, everyone knows it, that you don't have that opinion, because then you are on the bad side, the evil side. That's just basic propaganda scenario. So we need to learn to see and even be humble enough to admit if we have fallen for such a trickery. Because it's going on today in these modern media. Very, very advanced, smart psychology PhDs and experts on mind and mind control are crafting much of what's going on in this social media today. I bet you that they're used, you know, presidents in America when going into the presidential election campaign, they fight about employing the smartest ones who knows how to influence people's minds. And no matter how smart you think you are, chances are they are smarter than you and me. So I would say that's the great thing, challenge to overcome today on this planet. That's the real big infection that should be cured, which we can do with some nice Chinese herbal medicine or whatever. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.